Many pet owners have seen their dog or cat asleep on the couch or the ground and watched them kick their legs or fidget in their sleep. It looks like our pets are dreaming. They can't tell us what they were dreaming about, but it seems like they're experiencing something imaginary while asleep. So if our pets can dream, does that mean all animals can dream? If animals can dream, what does that tell us about how their minds work? In his new book, our next guest explores the neurological and philosophical sides of animals, their brains, and what happens when they sleep. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think that animals dream? Have you ever seen one of your pets and you thought maybe it was having a dream? What do you think they dream about? What questions do you have for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. David Peña Guzman is an associate professor of humanities at San Francisco State University. His new book is called When Animals Dream, The Hidden World of Animal Consciousness. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
Before we get into some of the science and philosophy behind whether animals dream, you're asking the question for a couple reasons. A, it's super interesting. B, the answer to these questions you write will influence how we treat the rest of the animals that we share this planet with. Can you talk about what you're hoping comes out of that?
Yeah, this is something that I talk in the book, especially towards the end, that for a long time we have known that what we know about the minds of other animals ends up having repercussions that go far beyond simply that curiosity that we might have about what goes on in their minds, either when they're awake or when they're asleep. There are also legal, political, and moral implications. And in the book, I talk about specifically the connection between the minds of other animals, their consciousness, and then the moral obligations that we might have toward them once we realize that they are indeed conscious, that they are sentient beings who are agents in the world.
You review the science behind animals and sleep and dreaming. There's not a ton of it in some ways, and there was a big switch in the 19th century, in the 1800s. A lot of people who did research said, of course, yeah, animals dream. And then there was a turn against that idea. What led to that?
Yeah, if you look at the writings of very famous 19th century naturalists, I mean, here we're talking about people like Charles Darwin. What you find is that most of them were very open to the idea that dreaming is a parallel that we find between human and non-human animals. If you look at animals like dogs and cats, but even at more distant creatures, distant from us from an evolutionary perspective, that is, you find these recreations or reconstructions of the world in the middle of the sleep cycle. And so in the 19th century, this was not a radical idea. It was not taboo. In fact, it was thought to be a pretty natural consequence of the, at that time, rising evolutionary framework. So once you accept that, of course, all the diversity of animal forms that we observe in nature is the result of evolution, then of course you expect to see a lot of continuity at the level of behavioral capacities, mental capacities, and so on. And so there's a lot of writing about animals having things like dreams, animals having concepts, animals having emotions. And unfortunately, all of this changes in the early 20th century. And the story that I tell in the book places psychology as a new science at the end of the 19th century front and center, because in the early 20th century, psychology did somewhat of a shift, or it pivoted away from a certain way of doing psychology to a new way of doing psychology. And this is what is known as behaviorism. Behaviorism, in very simple terms, is a style of thinking in psychology that basically says, look, we are not going to worry about mental phenomena. We're only going to focus on behavior. Why? Well, because behavior obviously is much more easily controlled. It is much more easily elicited, and it is measurable in a way that purely mental events are not. So for instance, you can measure how far a dog walks. You can measure how many times they wag their tail, but you cannot really measure things like their thoughts, their emotions, and obviously their dreams. And so for a long time, for most of the first half of the 20th century, which is what I call the silent century in the book, there is this deafening silence about the minds of other animals. And I think this was a major mistake in the history of science. And thankfully, in the last few decades, this has been changing. I would say it's been changing now for about 3, 4, maybe even 5 decades. But the legacy of behaviorism is still very much with us. And it's something that we still have to actively resist in the natural sciences, and especially in the animal sciences.
We're talking to David Peña Guzmán. His new book is called When Animals Dream, The Hidden World of Animal Consciousness. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever watched your pet sleeping and thought, hey, I think they're having a dream now based on their behavior? 800-642-1234. I want to check out a couple of the studies you share in the book. Now we have brain imaging technology. You share the story of, I think it was a bird. It was a kind of finch that maybe was doing some musical rehearsals in its sleep. Can you share that story?
Yeah, that's right. These are zebra finches, which are birds native to Australia. And one of the things that we know about these birds is that they sing a song, and their song is not innate. In other words, it's not as if a little zebra finch, you know, comes out of the egg already having that, all the information for that song somehow preloaded into their brain or their nervous system. It's not in the genes from the moment of birth. And so that means that every single zebra finch has a challenge, which is, how am I going to memorize this really complicated melody that I need in order to be a zebra finch? And we know that they have to practice because they learn it from their parents and their siblings, and they usually have to practice. So they listen to others singing the song, and then they set to trying to internalize it on their own. So they practice during the day. And I found research showing that at night, they also practice their song. And when I say at night, I don't just mean when the sun goes down. I mean when the zebras, when the zebra finches fall asleep. And so if you look at the zebra finch brain in the middle of the sleep cycle, especially as these animals are transitioning into what is known as REM sleep, which is typically when animals have dreams, statistically speaking, the areas of the brain that start lighting up are precisely the same that light up during the waking state when these animals are rehearsing their song. And so we know that these animals have these auditory, magnificent, beautiful dreams. And it might be that their dreams are even playing a central function of memory consolidation, whereby by dreaming about their song, these animals are memorizing the song that they need in order to succeed and flourish as finches during the day.
That's just one of the examples you give in the book of different species that seem to be having some kind of dreams. But it brings up an important point. A finch's dream might be very auditory. A dog's dream might be very smell-oriented. What we think of as dreaming might not apply, it might look very different, feel very different to a different animal having those dreams.
That's correct. And one important point, one takeaway from my research, is that we need to be extremely careful about being anthropocentric, which is a bit of a mouthful. it just comes from the root anthropos, a Greek term meaning human, and centric. And so we need to not center humans in our thinking about and in our definition of certain phenomena such as dreams. And so, of course, in the case of humans, the vast majority of human dreams tend to be visual because we are by large a visual species. But when you shift the focus away from humans to other animals, then you have to be open to the fact that those dreams will follow the sensory capacities of those animals rather than the expectations that we might project based on our particular case, right? A dog is never going to dream a human dream. A zebra finch is not going to dream a dog dream either. And so paying attention to those differences is really important, but it also adds a major level of difficulty for us thinking about the dreams of other animals, especially when they are when they become less and less similar to ours.
We're talking to philosophy professor David Peña Guzman about his new book, When Animals Dream, The Hidden World of Animal Consciousness. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you encountered examples where you've seen an animal, maybe your pet, and you think it's having a dream, probably based on what it's doing while it's sleeping? Have you ever thought about what it means for an animal to dream or have imagination? What questions do you have about animal consciousness? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with David Peña Guzman, philosophy professor at San Francisco State University, author of the book When Animals Dream, The Hidden World of Animal Consciousness. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think animals dream? Do you think your pet does? What questions do you have about animal dreams and animal consciousness? Call in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Shaquan is with us in Beloit. Shaquan, hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What'd you want to bring up?
It's so crazy because, like, literally yesterday I was looking up the subject, and it's so intriguing. That's why I love NPR. But basically, it was like it extends to all species, even insects and such, but they kind of, like, eliminated because they correlated with REM sleep. But it's more in, like, their baby phase, as they put it. Like, all species dream in their baby phase more. But I'm not sure. I wonder if that did extend to insects and stuff as well.
Interesting question. And I just saw on NPR.org, actually, something about spiders maybe having a REM, a rapid eye movement cycle. How about next door in the insect world, David? Do we know anything about what's going on there?
Yeah, we do know some things. I think it was around 2014, 2015, that some research started coming out about honeybees. Showing that they show a lot of signs of what we would call dreaming. Of course, this becomes extremely thought-provoking because insects have historically suffered from the terrible fate of being seen as the simplest of animals, at least like the large-scale animals that we interact with on a daily basis. So often people assume that because they have so-called simple nervous systems, that they couldn't possibly perform certain mental or cognitive operations that we deem impressive, like dreaming. And yet the research suggests that we might have to extend it to insects and also to arthropods like spiders. This research on jumping spiders that you just mentioned just came out about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. I mean, my book came out in July, in the summer, so it's in many ways hot off the press. And already there is new research that I didn't have at the time that I was writing it. So brand new research showing that jumping spiders, which are a particularly visual kind of spider that relies on vision much more than sensation, than sensing vibrations on the ground, that when they fall asleep, they also show, they display the same kind of REM movements, rapid eye movements, that in human beings, since the 1950s, we have treated as very clear indicators of dreaming. So, you know, the small critters of the world are now claiming their place in the community of dreamers, and I think that's very exciting.
Shaquan, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. David, you write that, you know, whether we're talking about zebra finches or rats showing signs that they're thinking about moving around in mazes while they sleep, some of the researchers who are doing this say, yeah, this is just, you know, sort of a video replay. They're just reenacting the stuff that they did in their lives. There's no creative force going on here. No imagination, no alternate reality going on in here. You don't buy that, though.
I don't. And I think this is maybe a vestige of what I mentioned earlier as the legacy of behaviorism, because I think a lot of scientists are still a little bit suspicious about the mental capacities of other animals. And so sometimes they just find it easier in the moment to say, I don't know that I want to call this, let's say, dreaming or thinking or emotion or imagination in the case of a non-human animal, because then that does introduce the burden and the challenge of trying to figure out what that means in the case of a non-human, which is not easy. I mean, I specialize in animal philosophy and animal science, and yes, it's fascinating, but it's also very tricky because you have to walk some uneven terrains sometimes. And so I disagree with people who believe that animals don't dream, or that if they have some experiences, then they must be so inferior to ours that they don't deserve the name dreaming. And I think the evidence actually is on my side in this debate. I think by now the preponderance of the evidence indicates that animals do dream. And that includes not only mammals, but it includes also birds. It includes, I just mentioned insects and arthropods. In the book, I also talk about cephalopods like octopuses, which are just so distant from us from an evolutionary point of view that it raises questions about the origin of dreaming. How far back in the history of life do we have to go to find, you know, the first dream or the first dreamer? And it just boggles the mind in many ways.
Talking to David Peña Guzman, author of the new book, When Animals Dream, The Hidden World of Animal Consciousness. David, what to you is the best study, the best research you've seen that's a selling point to make the case that, yes, in fact, animals are dreaming in a meaningful way, not just arbitrarily replaying the events of the day?
Well, I think we live in a culture where neuroscience has a lot of cultural capital. I think in the last 40 years or so, it really has become the lingua franca of science, especially when it comes to animals and behavior. And so that's why I focus on a lot of neuroscientific research, looking at brain activity, patterns of neural activation in many animals. I look primarily at rodents and other mammals, just because we have a lot more research about them. But I also talk about patterns of neural activation in other species like birds and also fish. There's been some interesting research on brainwave activity during REM sleep in certain species of fish. And so I think the neuroscience is extremely persuasive when it comes to establishing these parallels between waking experience and the sleep state or the dream state. But I also think that we need to be open to the behavioral evidence, to the things that we do observe in those animals that we share our life with. I don't think it's a major jump or an unreasonable jump or a leap of faith for somebody to look at a sleeping dog or at a sleeping cat who is running and vocalizing and fighting with imaginary enemies in the middle of sleep, and to say, you know what? I think this is probably a dream. And unfortunately, that's the kind of conclusion that a lot of scientists want to resist, again, for the reasons that I talked about a little bit earlier.
Now, consciousness is one of the trickiest ideas in philosophy and neuroscience, psychology for that matter. But can you connect the dots? If we accept the argument that, yeah, animals are dreaming, what does that tell us about our search for consciousness among our fellow animals?
Yeah, I once was told by an expert that if you ask 10 people who specialize in consciousness to define consciousness, you'll get about 15 different definitions. And in some ways, the book that I wrote is entirely about this question. It is about dreaming. Of course, that's the subject of the book. But it is because I see dreaming as intricately connected to questions of sentience, to questions of consciousness, to questions of agency, and what in the book I call subjectivity. So I want to think about the subjectivity of animals by using their dreams as this entry point into their lived world. And so one way to make the connection explicit here between dreaming and consciousness is through three intermediary categories. And these are the three categories that, for example, organize my analysis in the central and most important chapter of the book, which is chapter 2. And those three categories are subjectivity, affect or emotion, and finally, metacognition. So what I do in the book is I look at research on the philosophy of dreaming and the science of dreaming, of course, here focusing in the case of humans, just how we have thought about the significance of dreams in the course of, you know, over the last couple of millennia in philosophy and science. And I argue that there are some fundamental links that we already accept between dreaming and being consciously aware of the world, between having dreams and having emotions, and between having dreams, or rather some kinds of dreams, this is a more limited claim, and being metacognitive agents. And so in the book, what I do is I ask the question in reverse from the point of view of animals. So if we already recognize this connection between dreams and all these categories, given the fact that we now have it on pretty good authority, scientific and philosophical, that non-human animals also dream, does that mean that other animals also have these three different types of consciousness? Again, which I call subjective consciousness, affective consciousness, and metacognitive consciousness.
And David, that's where we'll have to leave it. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That's David Peña Guzman, Associate Professor of Humanities at San Francisco State University. He was with us today sharing his new book, When Animals Dream, The Hidden World of Animal Consciousness.